Well, I like to start my sermons with a little bit of interactivity, if I could. So, happy feast.
Happy feast.
Very nice. Thank you for that. It makes me feel like I'm not up here alone, even though I really am. Well, greetings to everyone that's tuned in over the webcast. And also, I want to send a very special greeting to all those that are back in eastern Pennsylvania, in the Bethlehem, Lewistown, and York, Pennsylvania congregations. I know a number of them couldn't actually travel to the feast this year, so I just want to let you know that my wife and I miss you all very much, and we're looking forward to being back with you soon. Hope you are having a good feast at your homes as well. I spoke to Mr. Deininger before the sermon today, and we were talking about the time and stuff, and even mentioned it when he was up here that he wanted to make sure he saved me enough time, and I just wish, and I told him beforehand, take all the time that you want. Take all of the time, period, if you want. I said, I'd be happy just to come up here and give my title, and then I can go back and sit down. But a very beautiful split sermon, and I appreciate his message today. Well, our weather during the feast this year has been really nice. It's just been absolutely beautiful. And God's given us pretty much any kind of weather that we like, right? I mean, I'm the kind of a guy that likes temperatures in the 70 degrees, very low humidities. But I know that's not the case with everyone. I know a lot of people like temperatures up in the 80s. It makes it nicer for going swimming. And I guess I don't understand it, but I guess some people even like the humidity. But this year at the feast, we've had pretty much whatever you like in terms of weather. And deep down inside of me, I kind of like hurricanes too. I was only in a hurricane once, and that was many, many years ago when we kept the feast at St. Petersburg, Florida. And the hurricane came right at the morning of the last great day, and the wind speeds just hit hurricane level, so it wasn't really that hard. But it was kind of neat to see the power that God's put into our earth and the power of a storm like that, and the effects that has on the ocean. So it is kind of neat. Of course, we don't want any harm, and we certainly don't want to cancel services. But we've been given a blessing of beautiful weather during the feast this year. And if you look at the forecast, it is calling for a chance of showers tomorrow, possibly some thunderstorms. But that's what God has given us. And sometimes when we look at the weather and we have all of our plans set up on what we're going to do, and we see that rain's coming, sometimes we can view rain as a curse, can't we? And get frustrated by it. But in reality, it's a blessing from God. And now I'd like to ask you just to use your imagination for a minute. And imagine, what if God gave us the amount of rainfall on this earth in comparison to the righteousness that is on this earth? What if he did that? What if he only gave us the amount of rainfall each year on this earth as there is righteousness on this earth? What would it be like? How would you classify our world if God gave us rainfall based upon this world's righteousness? Well, I think it would be easy to see that we would be in a major drought. We'd be in a very severe drought. And certainly this world is in the middle of a very severe spiritual drought. In fact, the spiritual drought that this world is in the middle of has been going on for thousands of years. You can date it all the way back to when Adam and Eve decided to choose disobedience and sin rather than obedience to God. When our world goes without proper rainfall for any period of time, what happens? Things start to die, don't they? This world needs rain. We need rain to survive. We also need righteousness to survive. All of this world needs righteousness to survive. If we continued in our sinful state endlessly, eventually, without God's intervention and hand to protect us and to keep us going, we would die. In fact, I would say without God's hand protecting us, even in the middle of our sinful state that this world is in, we would be dead already. Mankind would have annihilated itself a long time ago because of its sinfulness. But as in all things, God is going to save mankind from its certain death due to its spiritual drought. As we go through the sermon today, we'll see that just as rain brings life, cleansing, and beauty to this earth, so will Jesus Christ's righteousness, as it is poured out upon this entire world during the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. The title for my message today is Righteousness Will Fall Like Rain. Righteousness will fall like rain. As I mentioned, we at times can and may consider rain a curse rather than a blessing. But God has given us rain, and He tells us that it is a timely blessing that comes directly from Him. You can put it in your notes if you like, but Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1 from the New Living Translation states, "Ask the Lord for rain in the spring, for He makes the storm clouds, and He will send showers of rain so every field becomes a lush pasture." God wants and gives us rain as a blessing. He wants it to be intended to be received as a blessing, to be appreciated. He wants us to look and see how rain renews and refreshes the earth, and that life comes from it. There's one thing as you think about rainfall, and that is that it saturates everything. Rain doesn't miss anything when it falls from the sky. It hits the grass. It hits every leaf on the tree. It sinks deep into the crevices of the earth. Well, God promises that He's going to do the same thing for us when He brings His Father's government here upon the earth. Rain brings life, rain brings beauty, and it brings a cleansing to the entire earth. God promises that when Jesus Christ returns, He will pour His righteousness upon this earth. Think about that. He's going to literally pour out His righteousness upon this earth. He's going to pour it out on an earth that has very little righteousness in it to this day. Think about, what is the righteousness on this earth? Well, it's sitting here in this room. It's sitting in various rooms and in homes throughout this entire world. And it's not that we are righteous because of our acts, but we are the righteous of God because He's instilled His Son, Jesus Christ's righteousness in us. If it weren't for God doing that for us, that undeserved blessing that He's given us of His Son, Jesus Christ's righteousness, there'd be no righteousness on this earth. There would be none whatsoever. Turn with me, if you would, to Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. This is kind of an interesting verse here because as we read it, I want to ask you to really look into it and see what it's saying, because there's really two parts to it. The first part of this verse is focused on the job that we need to be doing now. Just as Mr. Deininger mentioned in his split sermon. But the second half of this verse talks about something that Jesus Christ is going to do once He returns to this earth. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow for yourselves righteousness. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be doing it right now. That needs to be our focus in our life. to sow righteousness. And if we do that, if that is the focus of our life and we're sincere about it and we set our heart to do it, the next part becomes a reality towards us, because none of us are going to be perfect in sowing righteousness, and that is that we will reap mercy. And God knows our heart. If we're putting our heart and our focus towards living a righteous way of life and doing what's right, saying things that are right and just, treating others with love and compassion, if we set our heart to do that, that's sowing righteousness, and we will reap mercy. The verse continues, says, break up your fallow ground. That's the hard, crusty ground of our life. Break it up. Going on, it says, for it is time to seek the Lord. It is time for us to seek the Lord. And then the focus changes. Until he comes, until Jesus Christ comes and rains righteousness upon us. That's a future event that's going to happen. When Jesus Christ comes, he's going to pour out and rain his righteousness upon this earth. His righteousness is not being poured out on this earth now. As I mentioned, there's just a little bit of righteousness in this earth, and it's no credit to us. It's all credit to God and Jesus Christ, but we're it. Jesus Christ will pour out his righteousness upon this earth. And when he does, just like rain, it will bring life and beauty and cleansing to this earth. It'll fall upon every plant. It'll fall upon every animal. And it will fall upon all of mankind. This righteousness is going to come from Jesus Christ. God's word tells us is his spirit that will flow from God the Father through Jesus Christ out from Jerusalem. It's going to cover this entire earth over time. And it will make a difference. And just like rain touches everything and affects everything when it falls from the sky, so will the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 11. Isaiah 61, verse 11 says, for as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. God's telling us in a very powerful and picturesque way on the fruit of his righteousness when it blossoms and blooms in the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ during the millennium. The effects of Jesus Christ's righteousness upon this earth is going to cause everything to blossom and to spring forth. It's going to be a beautiful thing. Jesus Christ's righteousness will bring a wonderful change to all people. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. Isaiah 44, we'll read verses 3 through 5. And I want to read this from the New Living Translation. Actually, I'm going to read this from the New King James Translation. I was flipping back and forth, not sure which translation I wanted to use, but I do want to use the New King James Version. Isaiah 44, verse 3 says, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty. That's what's going to take place. And floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your descendants and my blessing upon your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. I will say, or one will say, listen to this. This is how it's going to affect people under Jesus Christ's reign. One will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. And another will write with his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. I was trying to picture what that's going to be like. And maybe people will be so filled with zeal to understand that they have a relationship with the very Son of God that maybe they'll make a big sign up and hang it outside their house and it'll just simply say, the Lord's. Or maybe they'll go into one of the multitude of t-shirt shops we have here at Panama City Beach and have t-shirts made up that say, the Lord's. But people are going to be doing it with great zeal, proclaiming their relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. What an amazing time that's going to be. To see people come to full realization of the benefits of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Think about your own calling. Think about your own baptism. When as you sat there and you came up out of that water and you knew your sins were not just forgiven but completely removed from you, that you stood there before God the Father and Jesus Christ, sinless, ready to receive God's Holy Spirit into your sinless life. It's the same feeling the people in this world are going to have once God's Holy Spirit is poured out upon them in the millennium. The next thing to consider about rain is that rain is refreshing. It really is refreshing. Even on the hottest, muggiest day, if you get a nice downfall of rain and you go stand in it, enjoy it, it's refreshing. When I was putting together the sermon, I was thinking about my own life. And I remember back when I was a young boy, probably pre-teenage years, and the street I lived on, the streets didn't drain well from the rainwater. And oftentimes when we would have heavy downpours of rain, the streets would be flooded. And I remember going out of my house once the heavy rains let up and seeing the streets with about 4 or 5 inches of water. I'd go out there and all my friends on the blocks around me, we'd roll up our pants leg and we'd go out and play in the streets, in the flooded streets in the water. Had a great time. It was so much fun to go out there as a kid and just run up and down the streets and just kick the water everywhere. Rain is refreshing. It refreshes us. It refreshes everything that it touches. Let's go to Psalms chapter 72, verse 6. Psalm chapter 72, beginning in verse 6. These verses talk about what it's going to be like when Jesus Christ brings his righteousness to this earth. Psalm 72, verse 6 says, he shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing. Now, I read this scripture and I'm thinking, did they have lawn boys back in the Old Testament? I'm trying to envision how they did the mowing back in the Old Testament. But anyway, I don't want to get sidetracked here. But he shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. And in his days the righteous shall flourish, and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. An abundance of peace, never-ending peace, peace that does nothing but expand and grow out from Jerusalem, encompassing the whole earth over time. Verse 8, It says, and he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. There's nothing that is going to escape the effect of Jesus Christ's reign upon this earth. And I guess you could take that reign either way. This verse perfectly describes the effects of Jesus Christ's return upon a dying, sin-filled earth. It says in there that the righteous will flourish. We'll be having a grand time. All of God's people will have a wonderful time under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. Christ will bring an abundance of peace and endless peace. And how refreshing will that be? Because the peace is going to be nationally, the peace is going to be locally, the peace that will be here will be even between the people, in relationships. Right now, Satan is tearing at relationships in this world, tearing at relationships even in our close-knit families and in our churches. He hates peace. But God is going to bring it. He's going to bring an abundance of peace, and it's going to flow out from Jerusalem again throughout this entire world. Imagine what that's going to be like. All will observe the holy law of God. Everyone. To our youth, I would ask you, can you imagine what it's like when all of your friends, in fact, not just your friends, all teens everywhere observe the Sabbath day? Can you imagine that? You'll be able to attend every sporting event. You'll be able to attend every dance. The only peer pressure that will be in the millennium is good, positive, encouraging peer pressure, where you will encourage the younger to follow God's way of life. Don't go off and do that thing that's going to get you in trouble and bring pain and suffering in your life. Do what's good, because you'll reap blessings from it. That's the kind of peer pressure that'll be in the millennium. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 8. And I'll read from the New International Version, Isaiah 45, verse 8. Notice the Lord's comments here, Isaiah 45, verse 8. You heavens above, rain down my righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness flourish with it. I, the Lord, have created it. That's going to be the focus of Jesus Christ, of pouring out his righteousness upon a severely, spiritually dry earth. As we observe the Feast of Tabernacles, right here at the ocean's shore, we have a very unique opportunity to really understand the next verse. Turn with me, if you would, to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. It's so perfect that God the Father and Jesus Christ uses the analogy of rain pouring down upon this earth in terms of what his righteousness is going to be doing during the millennium. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14 says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." You go out and stand at the shore of the ocean and just imagine how completely covered that ocean floor is. There's nothing that is left untouched by the ocean waters. It's going to be the same way during the millennium with the righteousness of God flooding this earth. When Christ returns, he will rain healing righteousness upon the earth, and it will bring an end to the spiritual drought and death that has plagued this earth for 6,000 years. God's righteous reign will bring life to all. It will bring beauty, and the deserts will blossom as a rose. God foretells that to be the truth. And it will cleanse the entire world like it's never been cleansed before. For the last scripture today, I'd ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 35. And we'll read the first two verses. Isaiah 35, verse 1. Says, even the wilderness and the desert will be glad in those days. The driest, lifeless part of this earth, the deserts, will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, and as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. May God speed that day. Wish you all a very safe travel home and many blessings on the rest of the feast.